Welcome to the Gospel Rain podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain conversation.
Welcome back to the Gospel Rain podcast. This is Matt, and I'm without my partner today, Micah Carter. He is away on some other church business, but I wanted to take an opportunity while I had it to sit down with a new friend of mine. His name is Nassan. Pastor Nassan is from Uganda. I had an opportunity to meet Nassan last year. He came to our church and just sat down with me for about 30, 45 minutes. We got a chance to know a little bit more about him and know a little bit about his family, his testimony, that kind of stuff. And so not long after that, he went back to his home in Uganda. And I hadn't heard from him in a few months other than just on Facebook I've seen him. And so just a few weeks ago, Nassan came back to Boonville, and he was here and came in and walked in my church. And on Wednesday night, we got a chance to meet with each other again. He got a chance to meet with some of my people. And I found out he was going to be in town for another few weeks or so. And so we asked him to preach yesterday, which was a Sunday. And he preached for us on Sunday morning at Gaston Baptist Church in Boonville and did a fantastic job. And I'm just going to tell you, Nassan, my people loved to hear you preach.
Wow.
They really did. They loved to hear you share your testimony and challenge us and encourage us. And it was really incredible. And I really appreciate you doing
Amen.
That. It
Amen.
Was
a lot of fun. Blessed. I was blessed.
Well, it was a lot of fun for us. Nassan is the pastor of Daystar Cathedral in Mbarara,
Uganda.
Okay. All right. You say it different than I do.
Yeah.
In Uganda. And yes. We've had a good time sort of being able to catch up with each other and become friends a little bit. And the Lord has knit our hearts together a little bit. We hope for maybe a lasting relationship as we learn how we can help each other in the gospel and those kind of things. So, Nassan, thanks for coming and just sitting down with me for a little while and on the Gospel Rain podcast. I knew that our listeners would be really interested in being able to hear what we heard yesterday. So I'm just going to fire some questions at you, and if you got time, I want you to answer them.
Wow.
But I want to start here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you come from, those kind of things.
Well, let me take this opportunity, first of all, to say thank you very much to host me on this broadcast. And to those who are listening, wherever you are around the world, because it's unlimited, it goes everywhere.
That's right.
You are not just tuning in by accident. You are in the right time where God is going to speak to your hearts, because you have a great promise that what your eyes have never seen and what your ears have never heard. So we expect that in this program, you're going to hear something that will bless you, maybe that will change you or challenge you to do something more for the kingdom of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
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 So, my name is Nassan Ibrahim from Uganda, and the little town or the city which I am in is called Mbarara. Mbarara is M-B-A-R-A-R-A, so Mbarara. And that's where I'm ministering, or I'm a pastor, at least now over 12 years.
Really? 12 years?
12 years.
Wow.
But I was in another city called the Kasese, where it was another 12 years.
Wow.
Also from there, Kasese, I was in another city called Lake Katwe, where it was for 10 years.
So you've been in the ministry, that makes, I can't count
34.
All that. Okay, 34 years. Yeah.
Maybe 35. So I've been seeing God doing tremendous things in my life and in
right.
my ministry.
Right.
But I'm blessed to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord.
Good.
That's a great thing. Because some of the people listening, you grew up in the church. You grew up in Sunday school. Maybe your father, maybe your grandfathers were ministers or their pastors. But to me, it is a different story. I was born and raised a Muslim.
Hmm.
Now, it's very hard a Muslim to run for the Bible. And so I did not get chance to be close to the preachers. I did not get chance to go to the churches.
Right.
In our community, possibly 95%. Are all Muslim. So
how many people live in your city?
Right now in Barwayam, we're about 1 million people.
1 million, okay.
But the village where I'm born from, possibly about 10,000.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, but 95% are all Muslim. So in our church, in our community, you could rarely see Catholic churches, Anglican churches, and very small. But when you could see the mosques, they're very huge.
Mm.
So 1983, I was 17 years old. Oh, well, I had never thought about salvation. I'd never thought about Jesus Christ. I was contented with the mosque, with Islamic faith.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, by that time, at 17 years old, the Muslim faith recognizes Jesus as a prophet?
Yes.
Correct? So you had heard the name of Jesus?
Yes.
By the age of 17?
You would hear about Jesus like a second to Muhammad.
Okay.
They would not emphasize on Jesus like we do right now.
I see.
But their emphasis is built on Muhammad.
Okay.
And they would make Jesus Christ equal, or made him like any other prophet.
I got you.
In Islamic faith, they believe in 24 prophets.
Okay.
Adam is a prophet. So from Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, all those are prophets.
Okay.
So Jesus is like one of them.
I got you.
Now, to the Christian, that's to make Jesus equal to Abraham, to make Jesus equal to Moses.
Right.
You have really bring him down.
That's right.
He has no equal.
That's right.
Yes.
Because the book of Hebrews says he is better than Moses.
Exactly. Even the Bible says he was given name that's above every name.
That's right.
That itself makes you to be above Muhammad, above Hindu, above Buddha, above everybody. So I grew up knowing Jesus, but not in the sense of being my savior.
I see.
Grew up knowing Jesus, not being the way, the truth. By the way, it's on the 1983 when I had the statement that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Wow.
I never heard it there before.
Wow.
So when I came to that evening, there was about 12 white people in our community. Now, in our community, there's no attraction of like a tourist people.
Okay. So, no reason for 12 white people to be there, really.
Exactly. Yeah, right. That's why I was wondering what these people are doing there. Now, in Uganda, once you see a white person, either is a tourist,
right,
or is a missionary.
That's right.
But there's no other need for them to come to Uganda.
Gotcha.
So when I saw them, I thought maybe these are tourists. Let's go see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was about 9 years old, I could see white people. You run to them as a kid, they would give you candies.
Right.
So we said, let's go see these people. What are they doing? This time it was not a candy. This time they were giving us Jesus.
Wow.
So when we came, they were doing some puppets and drama on the street. And when we saw those puppets, we could not see what was behind the scene. We called them the talking cartoons. So we said, let's go watch the talking cartoon. And when we were paying attention to the talking cartoon, this guy had seen people gathered and he paused. And then he began talking about the story about Jesus, how he was born, how he was raised, how he did those incredible miracles. He mentioned some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died on the cross, buried, and rose again. It was a very, very interesting story that I never had in my life.
Wow. So you had heard Jesus, but did not hear the gospel story of his death and resurrection.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Now, I told my friend, let's go. It was night now. We shall come back tomorrow for more story and more the talking cartoonist song singing.
Right.
So when we came back the next day, remember, I'm enjoying the story. Not that I need to change my faith, because I never seen a Muslim get converted. Two, my father was one of the strong leader in Islamic faith. There's no way I can become a Christian. But I want to let everybody listen to me that the word of God is so powerful.
Mm.
It is strong enough to change all your ideas and your plans and your personal agendas.
Right.
So when we came back the next day, they were talking about Jesus walking on the water. And you know very well how the preacher make the story sounding powerfully. Then I said, my goodness, who is this walking on the water without the bridge? And there's no boat.
Right.
And then this guy would explain how Jesus did all those kind of incredible miracles. On the third day, I raised my hand. I remember, I'll never forget, and ask a question, where do you read the story from? And this guy was very, 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 very smart, with a big smile that I've always seen in my eyes. And he said, from the Bible. Remember, he was giving the story without the Bible in the hand.
Right, right.
And then he said, from the Bible. Then I said, well, where am I going to get the Bible? Then I remembered in our neighborhood, there's a Catholic woman. She must be having a Bible. I ran to this woman and said, do you have a Bible? She said, I do. Can I have it for one night? She was very friendly. Maybe she thought, well, it's good for Nassan
right
to read this book. So she gave me the Bible. I had to hide it from my father, run to the bedroom, begin reading the Bible. But I wanted to find exactly the story about Jesus. But as my first time, a blind young man, Muslim, I did not find where to talk about Jesus.
There's a lot of books there. You don't know where to look, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I kept flipping and I didn't know where to go. So I thought maybe these people are playing on my mind. Let me go with this Bible to them. Then I went back the next day with my Bible. I said, well, I have the Bible. I could not find Jesus in this book. And this guy with the big smile said, can I have your Bible, young man? I gave him my Bible and he showed me the story he was talking about yesterday. He showed me another story he was talking about previous day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, yeah, that's what I wanted. Then he told me, young man, you don't need one day, you don't need 2 days. Go home, sit down, read this book until you discover the story you want.
Mm.
Brother, he was as if he pushed me into the whole Bible. Went home from Genesis. Oh my goodness, every chapter I open takes me to another chapter. I read more and more. I don't want to stop. I'm not even thinking about eating. I'm not thinking about sleeping. Let me tell you, once you are hungry, spiritual hunger, and you begin eating the spiritual food, which is the Word of God, you don't want to stop.
Wow.
So I continue reading. But the problem was one, the more I read, the more I have the questions, and I don't have the answer.
Mm.
And I have to go back to these people.
Well, so let me stop you. You couldn't go to your mom and dad.
No.
Because they were Muslim.
No, yeah.
Did they know you had this Bible?
No.
Okay, would they have?
Because I knew once they would see the Bible come in their home, right away they would say, get out this book.
I see. So you knew it wouldn't be accepted in your home.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's
so
why
I'm reading for myself. I have questions for myself. Now I'm wondering, it's a good story. I don't understand them. So I said, let me go to these people. So when I went back to this group of people with a lot of questions, they answered every question I had. But they're very, very smart. They end up telling me about the salvation.
Mm.
And I discovered I was lost, and I don't know how to get saved. So I asked them a question. Can I get saved the same time I remain a Muslim? And the reason is, I'm scared of my father. Yeah. I'm 17 years old. I'm still depending on my parents, on everything.
Right.
This guy was very smart. He said, yes, you can. Then I said, please pray for me. Prayed for me. Went back to the mosque. I'm just cutting the story short. Went back to the mosque, and I prayed as I normally do. When I put down my forehead on the floor, my heart did not go down. And I realized then, you cannot have both Muhammad and Jesus
wow.
the same time. So what I did, I could not wait the Sabbath to get finished, get out, run back to these people that had already gone, but they left a Ugandan preacher under the tree with a few people that accepted Jesus Christ, and I told this preacher, can I join your church?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, come on. I knelt down, and he prayed for me, and I began crying. And I said, Lord, now I'm forgiven, now I'm free, now I'm saved. What about my father? What about my mama? What about my sister and my brothers? I said, Lord, if you can give me power, can give me wisdom, the best I can do for you before I die, I will present your name. I will tell the Muslim that Jesus is the Lord.
Wow.
That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus died and rose again. That was my prayer from day one.
Wow.
And this preacher, after he prayed for me, he said, go home. I went home. I don't know when before I told my father. The moment I was opening the door to enter the house, my father was standing right there with a question, is it true you have converted to Christianity?
So he already knew.
He already knew. So I did not answer him, and he told me, you're not welcome in my home. That day, I turned around crying, knowing something bad is going to happen to me or I'm going to die. Now how am I going to survive? Running back to the preacher with my Bible in my hands, and I told him, my father said he's no longer welcoming me to the house. And he, with a big smile, he said, well, stay here with me. Then he took the Bible open and showed me what happened to me in this life and in the life to come.
Wow.
And then he asked me a question. Do you want to stay here and be with Jesus, or do you want to change your mind and go back with your father? I told him, I've made up my mind to follow Jesus.
That's incredible.
To somebody, listen to me. The moment you meet Jesus, you never remain the same.
Mm.
And once you meet Jesus Christ, you don't need to listen to any other prophet.
That's right.
You feel that you have reached your destination. Hmm. That day I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, I was thinking I was ending life, but I discovered I was beginning life. Hmm. We are not going to start eternity once we get into eternity.
That's right.
You start to write
right
there
now.
And there.
That's exactly
when you meet Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's my story, how I met Jesus Christ. And to continue from there, after I stayed with this preacher for a couple of times, and cut the story short, I end up get opportunity to go to the Bible seminar in Nairobi, Kenya. So that was my dream. That was my prayer to understand the Word of God and to get it in a simple way of how I can get the basics to come and present Christ in my community.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm. Once you got saved, the missionaries, the white missionaries who were there, they left.
They left.
Did you have any access to Bible teaching after they left? You stayed with the preacher.
The preacher, yes.
And so he discipled you, I guess?
Yes,
did he teach you the
Bible? I stayed in his home.
Okay.
I stayed with him. He showed me how to pray. He showed me how to read the Bible. He showed me how to continue growing in the faith.
Did he live in your community?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any relationship after that with your mom and dad?
So I stayed with him after I went to the Bible seminary. Mm-hmm. And after I came back, actually spent about 3 years in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So when I came back home, and my talk was different. My thinking was different.
Right.
And the boldness I have was, you could not avoid it.
Right.
So when I went to meet my mama, she was happy that my son has come back home.
Right.
But this time, I came with a new message. My mother got saved.
She got saved.
She got saved.
Cool.
And my sister, the one I followed, got saved. Mm. The brother wanted to chop off my head because I don't give you that story. It was very harsh to me. Today is one of the deacons in the church.
Is he really?
Yes.
That's
my
awesome.
My father, because being a leader was feel like embarrassment, and
right,
being ashamed, he did not accept Jesus Christ. Mm. So that day, I met my family. They became Christians. Mm. After my father died, on his property, we built a church where my mother and my brother became members in that church. And now the church is growing. Have about 200 more.
That's incredible.
Members in that church.
What an incredible story.
Yes, sir.
So your family is saved.
Yes.
Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I was just interested because I wanted to ask you about this, because you said something about this on Sunday. And it was really intriguing and really challenged me and challenged our people. You said that those white missionaries, the way you referred to them, those white missionaries came, stayed a number of days, had an opportunity to share the gospel. They did, and you were one of a small handful that were saved.
Yes.
Not many of you were saved.
Yes.
But a few of you were.
Yes.
And they left and went back home.
Yes.
And they may have never given that another thought.
Yes.
They may have even thought,
yes,
that they were failures.
Exactly. Because wherever I go, number one, since then I've never met them. Two, they don't know whether I continued with Christ.
That's right. They don't know the end of the story.
Exactly.
That's right.
And that's always speak to my heart. And to let the people know, there's some people you're affecting in life, you will never see them again. Mm. And sometimes the devil come and whisper into your ear that maybe you wasted your time, maybe you wasted your resources, maybe you did not affect the life of people there.
Right.
Those people who came into Uganda, they don't know what they did in my life. Mm. They thought I was a young boy just playing on their mind with the questions.
Right.
Maybe they thought I got saved and I just became an only believer and that's all.
Right.
They don't know after that, God has done tremendous work in my life.
That's incredible.
Now, that's my calculations. Come to Uganda from the U.S., you need about $3,000. Mm-hmm. 12 people, that's about $36,000. To me, that's a lot of money.
Right.
And to others even. So, you cannot compare the money these people use to affect the life of a young boy at the age of 17 with the work God has done through me today.
Wow.
Because right now, at least over 250 churches has been planted through me being there in person or some young men that I trained you saw Expedito the
yes,
other day.
Yes, you have
he's
a man
one
with
one of
you.
The mm-hmm. boy I raised, went to the training. Right now, he's a pastor of a church. So I have so many young men I raised, trained, sent them to the Bible seminary, and come back home. Right now, they are pastors. So you cannot compare the money
that's right.
they spent
that's right.
on that trip with the work done right now.
That's right.
Myself, right now, my church will run about 3,000. It's a very big church. It's going to seat about 8,000 people that the building capacity we have built.
Right.
We have the radio station donated by American Family Radio. We reach about 10 million people. And the gospel is 24/7. So you can see 12 people affecting one boy and the one boy changing his country.
That's incredible.
And this is always my question. Wherever I go, I challenge the church. Who knows there's another young boy somewhere?
That's right.
Not only Uganda. Maybe in Ecuador.
Right.
Maybe in Haiti. Maybe in Russia.
Right.
Maybe in China. Maybe in the Middle East. And who knows that if there's somebody who says, well, let me take a group. Let's go do some puppets. Maybe let go do some crusades. Who knows they can affect another life of another young boy. In the next 30 years to come, that young boy is a Billy Graham.
Amen.
Who
That's
can
right.
touch and change the whole
That's
world.
That's right. And you can never calculate those kind of results later. Yeah, a lot of people may, mission groups may go to a place and leave and think, I don't know that we were successful.
Yes.
We didn't see but just a few people get saved. And we did puppets every day. We did this kind of thing every day. We did all kinds of things every day. We just didn't see a lot of results. And they go back home and
yes,
and,
they're discouraged.
Yeah, may think they're failures.
And then they write in a book, we spend a lot of money on this trip. We don't need to go back.
Right.
Maybe those group of people who came from Uganda in 1983, they might have said the same thing.
Mm.
But look at the harvest. My crusades that I do, you have seen them, some pictures, is from 20 to 50,000 in the stadium. They did not do a crusade of 10,000. They did not do a crusade of 1,000. In a crusade with the 12 people, we may possibly 50 people.
Mm.
But God had one boy among the 50 who would do the 50,000 crusade.
Isn't that incredible?
So I want to encourage the church in the U.S., I want to encourage you and your church that every money you spend on the mission field is not a loss.
Mm, that's a good word.
Yes.
That's a good word. That's a good challenge. And I think there are a lot of mission trips that go on year after year with our churches
yeah.
who may feel that way, may feel discouraged time after yes. time because they may not see in the end,
yes.
the results that they're looking for, hope to find, but there's no way to calculate 40 years down the road, or
yeah.
in your case, 34 years down the road,
yes.
where you have gone to Bible seminary,
yes.
you've begun to pastor, you're preaching to thousands every week,
yes.
there are thousands coming to Christ,
yes.
there are hundreds of men that are surrendering to be pastors,
yes.
they've been trained,
yes.
and that has gone on for years
yes.
after they left Uganda and may have never really known
the,
that.
The problem is one, they forgot that we need just to sow the seed.
That's right.
That's our
That's right. That's our responsibility.
Our responsibility.
That's right.
We sow the seed, but it's God that makes grow.
Mm.
So we need to keep sowing the seed. You
yeah.
don't need to stop sowing the seed.
That's right.
You need to keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And don't wait for the result today or tomorrow. It will be like in our country, we go to the field, you plant the corn, you plant the beans, or you plant the peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stay there for that night and say, well, in the morning, I'm going to do the harvest.
That's right.
You have to go home.
You got to wait.
That's you got to
right.
wait.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to win souls on the mission field, you don't need to be somebody who can be discouraged at any moment.
Hmm.
You need to know, I have planted the seed, I will let God deal with the harvest.
Wow.
And that's what happened to
that's
me.
That's good. Let me ask you this.
Because if you ask me, let me also bring this up. If these people did not go to Uganda, 1983, where will be?
That's
where
right.
will I be today?
That's exactly right.
Two, where will all these souls that have helped to find Christ, where will they be today? I told you yesterday that 2007, it was historical. We baptized in a single day, 1,524 in a single day.
1,524 people in one
it
day.
Never happened in Uganda in a while. So where would those souls be today if these people did not go to Uganda?
Mm.
So I'm telling the people that we are running out of time. Jesus is coming soon. our brothers and our sisters in our communities, in our countries, around the world, that are still bound in the bondage of sin.
That's right.
And God is not going to send the angels to spread the gospel. The assignment of winning soul is given to the church.
Amen.
And the church is not the building. The church is me and you.
That's right.
So that's how I see it.
That's right.
We need to redeem time. According to the Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, shall become my witness," where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world.
That's right.
Most of the churches, they say, well, we will do the church around here in our neighborhood. Well, that's great because we have a lot of sinners in our neighborhood.
Right.
But it should not stop right there. Go beyond the border and the boundaries of your church, of your community, of your district, of your country, to the other part, most of the world.
Amen. Amen. What a great challenge. Let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about this, but I wanted you to tell our listeners, with that many people that have been saved,
yes,
over a number of years, and a number of people who have been baptized, and people sharing the gospel and preaching now, becoming pastors, in your area where you live now, in the city you live, is it still you talk about a revival, obviously, and a spreading of Christianity, but is there still a large population of Muslims who are still there? Is it dominated by a Muslim belief?
Muslim is the fastest growing religion in the world.
Right.
In the world. And the way they grow is that, one, they have access to marry so many wives, so to have many, many children.
I see.
So they grow.
I see.
So fast in that way.
That makes sense.
So to the Christians, and also the preaching of the Muslims is basing on lies. Mm-hmm. In a Muslim, you're allowed to lie if you know that this lie can save you.
Okay.
So they have easy life. You can marry four wives. Mm-hmm. You can, then they use money. They can buy people to join their faith.
I see.
Then another way is intimidation. Using the sword, if you don't want to become a Muslim, we can kill you. So those are in Sharia laws in other countries of Islamic countries. Mm-hmm. In Uganda, we have been saved or spared. It cannot be a Sharia law because our president is a Christian.
I see.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's how we're still battling with the Muslims. But the good news, they are getting saved.
That's great.
Why?
That's fantastic.
Because we reach the unreached for Christ.
And Muslims, you said this yesterday, Muslims don't have any hope.
Yeah.
They don't have any hope. They don't have a lasting hope.
Yes.
They hope that there will be something for them in the future, but they don't have the life that comes from Christ.
Yes. The bad thing is, really they believe falsely because they believe that Jesus is coming back. You know, I believe Jesus is coming back. Mm. They believe that Jesus is coming back.
Right.
But they don't believe he's coming back according to the Bible.
Right.
To take us home.
That's right.
But they believe that he's coming back for two reasons. One, to be like any other prophet, to get married.
Mm.
And also to die like any other prophet. They don't believe that he just died. He was mysteriously.
Yes.
Vanished.
Yes. Right. Right.
And Judah, he was the one who was crucified on the tree. Mm. So they think the Jesus we talked that he was on the tree was not Jesus. That's Judah.
That's right.
So the real Jesus, they believe he went to heaven. So he's preparing to come back.
He's coming back.
Not to escape death. He'll be killed and die. Oh, come on now.
Mm.
I believe Jesus died. I believe he was buried. And on the third day, he came back alive.
Amen. That's the gospel, all right?
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel message. That's right.
And also, I wanted the people to know this. If you're a pastor, you happen to listen to this broadcast, or you're a believer, strong believer, sinners, they don't want to come to your church. Sinners think your church is the most boring place to go to. And sinners, they think your members are too holy. They don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want you to know. So make your church go out where the sinners are, because the sinner don't want to come to where we are, but the church can go where the sinners
That's
are.
That's right. Go to them. Share the gospel with them. That's exactly right. Let me ask you another question, Hassan.
Mm-hmm.
You have, and you told us a little bit about this yesterday, you have a pastor's conference coming up in May,
right?
In Uganda. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you do there at your pastor's conference?
Yes, this, God put it on my heart, and the theme of our conference is called Peter, Feed My Sheep, which is taken from John 21 and 17. Peter, Feed My Sheep. And this, I said, Lord, what do you want me to bring this theme? Now, our pastors in the whole country, Uganda, the spirit of prosperity, talking about prosperity, talking about money, it is coming in like a flood.
So the prosperity gospel is a problem in Uganda like it is here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So God is concerned about his sheep. So my question to the pastor is, what kind of food are you feeding the sheep? And we have a saying that iron sharpens iron. So I said, let me look for men of integrity, men who are still standing on the biblical principle and the biblical truth. To call these pastors, we prevented them to fall into that kind of false teaching.
Right.
So that's why we bring the theme, Peter, Feed My Sheep.
Oh, that's good.
So if you're going to feed God's sheep, what kind of food are you going to feed them? How do you take the whole sermon and you start with talking about yourself, talking about the material things, and you close up without talking about Jesus, and what kind of food have you fed the sheep? So we want to tell the people that Jesus is the central message. Jesus is the food that we need to feed the church.
That's right.
Jesus is the food that will make the church be healthy church. Why? Because he said, if you eat me, my flesh, and you drink my blood, you will have eternal life.
Right.
So that's what the conference we're going to have in May. We have pastor from Belden Baptist Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, and pastor Byron from Sargent First Baptist Church in Alabama.
Sargent, Alabama.
And another pastor from Tupelo. They're going to come to be one of the training our pastors in Uganda.
That's great.
From 30th of April through 5th of May.
Great. That's great. Well, I'm proud of that. That's you shared a little bit about that with us yesterday, and about some of the things that you hope to do. Aside from being able to train in the gospel, one of the things that you are attempting to accomplish is giving bicycles to many of these pastors who will be there. We helped yesterday just take up a love offering to give a little bit of money to help maybe buy some bicycles. Tell us a little bit about that and why that's important, because I think this is really interesting.
1991. I forgot to tell you this, but I'm going to take a little bit back behind. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I said, Lord, the best I can do for you is to present your name to my fellow Muslim in Uganda. I've been coming in this country. It's so beautiful and blessed country.
Right.
But I've never desired to become an American for one reason. There is a promise I made with my God. So my country is in my heart. 1991, as I was ministering, preaching the gospel, a woman from First Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, asked me a question, Nassan, what can I do for you to help you preach the gospel? I said, I need a bicycle. And she said, bicycle? Yeah, she looked at it as a small thing, but to me it was like a Mercedes, because that bicycle changed the lives of people, doubled my ministry, made me reach more soul for Christ. So recently God spoke to me. He said, Nassan, do you remember the bicycle 1991? I said, yeah. Do you remember how doubled your ministry? I said, yes. Put a bicycle in every pastor in Uganda.
Wow.
I said, Lord, I don't have money. God said, do it. My first time I sold my truck, and I only bought 22 bicycles. Gave to the pastors and took a video, them receiving no bicycles, and I came with a video to First Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa. They raised 200 bicycles.
Wow.
On Christmas, as I was giving the bicycle on Christmas, the president of Uganda was a guest in my church. That's how our church is affecting the country.
Right.
To the extent the president of Uganda came to look for this church with the things we are doing.
Wow.
And he said, I will match every bicycle you raise. He gave me a check with the money to buy another 200 bicycles.
Wow.
So I saw God was behind this. So I said, Lord, I'm going to help these pastors. that every person in Uganda can have a bicycle. And the president of Uganda will match every bicycle we raise.
Wow.
So that's my excitement. You have seen the video. Those are about 700 bicycles so far I've given. And my target to reach about 1,000 more.
That's awesome.
So God is good.
Wow. What a great
story. And I want to say thank you for your church, for their generosity. And I believe that because of that seed, somebody's going to come in the kingdom of God.
That's fantastic. All right, let me ask you just one final question. We talked a little bit about this just a minute ago.
Yeah.
With some of the issues maybe in America right now, seem like some of the same issues you may be facing in Uganda right now in regards to preaching.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of real gospel preaching in Uganda? Do you see that? Because at least in America, we see one of the major problems with our preaching right now is, we talked about it a minute ago, is partly prosperity gospel.
Right.
But some of the preaching even today is no gospel preaching at all.
Yeah.
It's more storytelling, antidotes, trying to help
to make people feel good.
Yeah, make you feel good, as Paul talked about in the New Testament, trying to, it's preaching that sort of scratches an itch that we all have, you know, to feel better about ourselves or whatever. Is there a problem like that in Uganda?
Oh yeah. What I've come to discover that really, Uganda is becoming Americanized.
Americanized, okay.
Yeah, all things are coming from here. Good things to Uganda are coming from here, and still bad things are coming to Uganda from here.
That's discouraging. That's very discouraging.
But still, the good people and the good preachers in Uganda, we still have them. Mm. So we still have men of integrity. I still see them around. I still watch them on Facebook. That's some of the guys who come in to speak in that conference. One of his ministers say, back to the Bible truth. Mm. Back to the Bible truth. We still have men who still want the people to stick on the truth
Good.
Of the Bible.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, around here, we have lots of opportunities to be trained in schools, seminaries, right. Bible colleges.
Yeah.
There are lots of opportunities for us around here to go, if you're going to be a pastor, to go and get education in the Bible. Right. Is that readily available? I know you went to one in Kenya.
It's very expensive.
Really?
So many pastors cannot afford it. Okay. And I was so blessed that in 1985, when I went, I was helped by one of the missionaries from Scandinavian countries to sponsor me to do that. There was no way I would have done it.
Wow.
So right now, that's why we do those short courses.
I see.
To help the pastor to get some basics.
I see.
But to get money, they still struggle with the rent. They still struggle to get their kids to school. So to get money to go to the Bible seminar is a lot of money they cannot afford.
Mm.
Yes.
I see. And that's hopefully one of the things you hope to accomplish somewhat through the pastors' conference, is to give them some training.
Yes.
Where they won't have to go to Bible seminary to get certain things. You can offer some things there at the church through Bible conferences.
Yes. This week is going to have a lot of packages that will push them for some time.
That's good.
And we hope we'll do a good job in their lives.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very encouraging. All right. Nassan, thank you, man, for being here. I know we didn't have a lot of time. There's a whole lot more that we could say, and a lot of other questions I've got.
Yeah.
But I'm going to end it here. Mm. Micah and I, which you had an opportunity to meet Micah just a little while ago. We finished up recording in the studio for a little while, and he was on his way out to some other business, and you were coming in. And so we got a chance to introduce you to him. But we usually end our podcast with a segment. Mm. One of the segments is called One More Thing.
Yeah.
And so we do something usually where we give some kind of interesting fact, something funny, something whatever, because it's something. But I wanted you to do this, all right? Because you come from a different world than we do.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to give us one more thing, something that might be interesting to us.
Yeah. If I'm to apologize, I'd love to apologize to the dogs in this country.
Uh-oh.
The reason I say that is in our country, the dogs are outside.
Yeah.
The dogs in this country are like babies in a home.
Yeah.
So if I come to your house and you have dogs and you see me run away from them, don't blame me.
Gotcha.
Because we don't have dogs close to us.
Oh, okay.
So when they're here, it was, come on. But I've discovered people, even the kids, they're in love with the dogs.
Yes, they are. They are.
Some of them sleep with them in the bed. Some of them drive with them in the vehicles.
Yes.
And when I look home, I see dogs outside. You see?
I see.
That's what I wanted to let the people know, that our culture is totally different. The money to spend on food to feed the dogs in our country, we better feed to the children.
I see. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So if you ever come to my home, I'll just have to make sure that my dog is put away in the background.
Yeah, and I want to know the dog. I don't hate them.
Yes.
But I grew up not being close to them like it is here.
I see.
So when you come to Uganda, well, you'll see it. Mm. You'll be sorry for how the dogs are being treated.
I see.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
Well, good. One more thing. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, because I didn't know that. I would have never even thought about that. So that helps us. For any of us here who may host you in our home or get a chance to go to Uganda, we'll see a little bit of the culture.
Yeah, but I want people to know I don't hate them. But it's not because I'm learning to. I want to say, maybe I can be a friend to the dog, but it still says,
that's got to be a big change.
Yeah, but I wonder how you really love them. I don't know where you go to that spirit of loving them. I don't know how it started, and it'll remain a big question.
Yes, it's me. I'm sure it will be.
They hug them. We
love our dogs, and people spend lots and lots of money on dogs to have a certain kind of dog, and spend lots of money on.
And on TV,
their
they
care.
Come a woman and say, "Oh, help us to rescue the dog. $19 every month to help the dog."
Yes.
I said, $19 to help the dog. Come on, $19 help somebody.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you shared that one more thing with us. I'm gonna close our podcast. I'm so thankful for our listeners. It's been a pleasure to sit down with Pastor Nassan and talk further with him about his culture. Yes.
We may closing, but I feel in my heart that please, somebody who is listening, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, please, we are running out of time. Any time, any moment, Jesus is coming soon. Yes. How ready are you?
Amen.
If you have never given your life to Jesus, find a church where they preach Jesus, where they exalt Jesus, where they worship Jesus. Find that church, go in and trust Jesus and believe Jesus and make him as your personal Savior and Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Nassan, for that. I really appreciate that. And I know our listeners on the Gospel Rain podcast, they appreciate you too. And I appreciate you sitting down with us for a little while. So, until next time we get a chance to sit down together and talk together about some theology or the Christian life, we wish you well. We pray blessings on you and your family, and we'll see you next time on the Gospel Rain.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.